What to do about the state of our cesspools here on Oahu, Kahalu and Waimanalo are on the high priority list to fix the problem in order to protect our nearshore waters. On Maui, it's surface drinking water that's threatened, and on the Big Island, more than half of cesspools in the state are located there. The deadline to convert these cesspools looms overhead. That could mean the creation of green jobs and opportunities for homeowners to get some help. Well, a series of town hall meetings are set to launch starting tomorrow, this Thursday, in Kahalu. We talked to Stuart Coleman, Executive Director of Wastewater Alternatives and Innovations, and Roger Babcock, a professor at the University of Hawaii, who has taken a position, we should add, with the city as its new facilities director and who is with the coalition Work for Water. Stuart Coleman starts us off.
So VI stands for Wastewater Alternatives and Innovations. And VI is not only our name, but it's the Hawaiian word for water, and it's kind of the core of our mission, you know, protecting our water quality throughout the state. And that includes groundwater, drinking water, and surface waters.
And we do have this problem where we, I think, have the most cesspools than any other place in the country, right?
Long Island has got us beat in terms of the number of cesspools, but per capita, we are number one. And so that's a dubious distinction that we want to bring down.
Who all is involved in this effort to try and convert these cesspools to something that's going to protect our nearshore waters and our drinking water?
Yeah, so along with the cesspool conversion working group that both, you know, Dr. Roger Babcock and I work on, there is our nonprofit, and we teamed up with kind of some of the top water quality and wastewater experts in the state to form this coalition called Work for Water. And this was something that we did to kind of pivot after COVID pandemic hit. And we realized, okay, not only do we have this mandate under Act 125 to convert all these cesspools, but we also need to, you know, get this process started and do workforce development. So this Work for Water, the four stands for the four counties for doing 400 cesspool replacements across the state, and the four key goals of workforce development and infrastructure investment and, you know, cesspool replacement, all in the name of water quality protection.
And Roger, talk about this law that people need to know about, because we can't be on cesspools forever.
That's correct, Catherine. The law mandates that all cesspools be replaced by the year 2050, and I think Stuart alluded to the fact that we have approximately 90,000 cesspools in Hawaii, so that's a very large task. But at the same time, there's a lot of time available. However, when you start thinking about it, there's really a lot to do. So you can't really wait. Ideally, you wouldn't wait too long to start, because there really isn't capacity to do all these conversions if we had to do them all in 5 or 10 years or so. Approximately 100 to 150 are replaced per year currently statewide. And if we started today in an all-out effort to replace an equal amount each year in the next 30 years, it would require about 3,000 per year to be replaced. So that's a big increase in workforce and capabilities that's needed to ramp up. And the idea of Work for Water is to kickstart that process, to start doing some today and putting the training and the other elements that are needed to make that happen, to get those in place today so that we can start now without further delay.
And Stuart, talk about these meetings. When's the first one launch?
In order to kind of educate people about the mandate to replace all these cesspools and to talk about, you know, new technology options, which we hope are going to be more efficient, more affordable, and better for the environment, we have begun to set up a series of town hall meetings across the state, starting in the priority areas that the Department of Health has determined, where there's a risk or potential risk of contamination, you know, because cesspools are basically just putting raw sewage in the ground. There's no treatment, and it leaches out, and it can go into the groundwater, and so if there are wells nearby, it can potentially affect the drinking water. But then we also know it affects surface waters and recreational waters, like where we swim, surf, fish, and everything. And it can affect coral reefs. So we're starting in Kahalu. On Thursday, we're going to have a town hall meeting starting at 6:30. And we're working with Representative Kitagawa and Senator Riviere to hold this meeting. And then we'll be doing the next one in Waimanalo on March 4th. And so this is kind of just to provide some opportunities, even funding opportunities for these homeowners.
And Roger, talk about the problem? How bad is it in Kahalu and Waimanalo?
Well, the areas that are identified as priority one are areas where there's already known impacts to either groundwater or surface water or nearshore waters. And in this case, it is the nearshore waters. And so there have been studies with measurements, and you can identify the presence of a sewage signature. In upcountry Maui, which is a very large area, it's groundwater, and the groundwater is a, you know, sort of a protected source that's a potential source for drinking water that some people do use.
And so there will be one on Maui, what, do you think, maybe the next month or so?
Probably it's going to take a little bit longer. We're going to do Waimanalo next, and then probably the Big Island, because more than half the cesspools are on the Big Island. And so we, you know, wanted to focus on kind of where the most numbers are. But, yeah, we'll be going to upcountry Maui, and then eventually all kind of 14 priority areas across the state and then other communities as well. But just to kind of build on what Roger was saying, with the Surfrider Foundation taking water quality samples, you know, over the years, the water quality in Kahalu is substantially over the legal threshold and sometimes dangerously over what's allowed. And so these are not only environmental issues, but human health issues.
And I know there was a push at one point to get as many ADUs or accessory dwelling units built just to provide housing for our people. But in those areas, a lot of that couldn't happen because of the sewage situation.
I think that's correct. There's regulations about how many bedrooms and units and stuff you can have on a single treatment system if there aren't sewers. And so that could be an impact. Most of the places where there are cesspools now will not be getting, you know, county sewers because of their location and the high cost of that. And, you know, you just to go back to your issue about the scale, based on, you know, some of the recent installations that happened over the last few years where there was when there was still a tax credit available, the Department of Health collects some data on the costs of these replacements, and you know there's a very large range, but if you take an average or a median of about $22,000, and you multiply that by the number of cesspools, you're talking about an overall scale of about a couple billion dollars for these replacements. So it's a very large problem.
Cesspools are problematic along the coast. Because, you know, with rising sea levels, that could, you know, impact, you know, what gets into the waters. And you know, I like to swim, and I know there are times being out in the North Shore, you're like, wow, something smells really bad out here. So you don't know what you're swimming in.
Yes, we had one unfortunate woman who called when I was at the Surfrider Foundation before this. And, you know, sometimes the water, you know, pardon the pun, can be very crappy conditions, but she actually paddled into, like, that poop all over her, and that, you know, created an article and quite a stir in the community, because that's when, you know, it really hits home for people. Like, this is an issue that affects all of us who love the ocean and love our waterways.
What island was that?
That was on Oahu at Bowles, appropriately named. We think toilet bowls for, you know, a lot of discharge comes from boats themselves that, you know, don't go out to sea and sometimes release that. But there are also cesspools all up the Alawai watershed.
People might be surprised to learn that a lot of those multi-million-dollar homes along Black Point, Kahala area are on cesspools. And you think, what?
Yeah, it's, I think, shocking to most people to realize that it cuts across every demographic. So we have cesspools in every part of Hawaii and very densely along the coast, but it also cuts across real estate demographics. And to kind of build on what Roger said, not only are there problems with adding units that are on a cesspool already, but right now, according to the law, if you have a cesspool and need a permit to do an upgrade or to add an ADU or dwelling, you would have to convert the cesspool. So that's another kind of trigger for conversion.
And also the point of sale, too, right?
Well, we're working on a bill right now for the point of sale. And so because if you buy a home right now and you have a 30-year mortgage, you're running up against the 2050 deadline. to convert. And so it's kind of a liability for new homeowners. And so we're saying when there's money on the table and the deal is being done, you know, they should convert it then. And, you know, maybe they can share it between homeowner and buyer or just include it in, as part of the mortgage. So we have two bills that are part of that, HB 112 and SB 369 is the companion bill that would mandate an inspection and conversion if it's a cesspool or a failing septic.
If I recall, lawmakers tried to introduce that earlier and it failed. I think the realtors, there was a big outcry. There was a lot of pushback.
Last year, actually, it was poised to pass. It had already passed out of the House and gotten halfway through, passed through the Senate and gotten halfway through the House, but COVID shut it down. And so, yes, you're right. In previous years, it hadn't, there'd been some opposition, but I think real estate agents and the one I've talked about or talked to are really starting to understand that this is kind of a liability that they must take care of because, you know, of the law and 30-year mortgages. And it's just safer. It increases the value of the property. So there are a lot of, I think, good reasons to make this part of the law.
Okay, so buyer beware. There is this deadline out there, and it is expensive. So how do we help homeowners kind of tackle this problem?
Well, that's a good question. And the cost is substantial. And there are various ways that that can be addressed. And there's examples from, you know, some other states where there are low interest loans in some cases. There are grants in some cases. Of course, you have to find the money to be able to provide the grants. And so, and there's also possibly some alternate ownership models that are possible as well. So we've been looking into some of these things, and there's a lot of interest. There was a study been done looking at, you know, how to some different options of the way to finance this, but there's still quite a bit of work that has to be done in that area to ease some of the financial burden that can be.
It would be mostly, you know, individual wastewater systems in areas like Roger said, where it's most likely, especially with the current pandemic economy, that they won't be able to do sewering for years and years because they just don't have the money. So we're trying to find alternative sources of income, especially from the federal government, to do workforce development, because this is going to create a lot of green jobs, and these jobs won't go away because, as Roger said, we have to increase our workforce, the rate of conversion by 20 times. So we could build this workforce 10 to 20 times what it is now, and these jobs pay well, and you can enter at any point from high school to college, you know, to having engineering degrees, and there are many different kind of avenues of entry for these positions. And so that's kind of what we're excited about. And so if we can leverage some of this federal money, then we can help the homeowners with that.
Okay.
So part of these town hall meetings are to drum up support to say, get these homeowners saying, yeah, we want to try some of these new systems that are more efficient, more affordable, and potentially get, you know, subsidies for those.
That was Stuart Coleman of VAI, a new nonprofit charged with helping Hawaii's homeowners and communities manage the very difficult process of upgrading cesspools across the state. We also heard from Roger Babcock, a professor at the University of Hawaii's Water Resource Center and now the city's new head of the Facilities Maintenance Department. For links to the upcoming Kahalu meeting Thursday and the town hall meeting in Waimanalo, head to our website, hawaiipublicradio.org. We'll also learn more about some of the new technologies to deal with waste later in the show.